It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Call them. Let them know. Overreaction Monday rolls into hour number two. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Zach Wilson was just one of several frustrations, but he just is almost covering for some others, whether it's Baker Mayfield, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's just the performance of the Rams altogether and injuries that are happening just continue to happen to that team. But no. Of all the overreactions of out of frustration, it is Zach Wilson who takes the cake. And then after that, of course, you have the euphoria of Overreaction Monday. The Cowboys winning big in Minnesota and what they did. The Eagles holding on to beat Saturdays on Sunday. And I give credit also to Jeff Saturday and the Colts. I mean, that's a different looking team since he's taken over. But let's get to some of the topics of the day on Overreaction Monday. And we do that with Mike Tannenbaum, of course, our ESPN NFL front office insider. Mike, how we doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Let's begin where, you know, the rejoin was, and that is Zach Wilson. And I want to ask you, as somebody that has run NFL teams, is how would you, as an organization, if you were in charge of a franchise and he was your quarterback, how would you handle things this week and in the next game?
Oh, that's really easy, guys. The only thing that can happen is Zach Wilson has to be the third-string quarterback this week, and Mike White and Joe Flacco has to figure it out, battle out for 1 and 1A. If Zach Wilson goes out there for anything besides third-string quarterback, Robert Saleh is going to lose his credibility. As Bart knows, and the NFL guys, you get fined for being late. You get fined for being overweight. It's the ultimate meritocracy. And if everybody else is being held accountable to do their job, coaches, players, front office, ticket sellers, whatever it may be, and Zach Wilson is held to a different standard, you're going to lose the entire organization. So for Robert Saleh's credibility, he can't do anything but make him the third-string quarterback. When you can't complete a pass behind the line of scrimmage, it's just not acceptable.
I mean, we saw Denzel Mims be held accountable, his trade request. We saw Elijah Moore. You know, is he in danger of losing this locker room if he brushes things aside and just business as usual gives him the start on Sunday? And what was missed during the pre-draft interview process about some of these traits that he has as far as not being able to take accountability? Or every quarterback in the league has always said, I got to be better. That's an easy thing to say.
Yeah, don't part. You're 100% right. And you know, as a former player, like, of course you're going to lose the locker room. I mean, every player's like, that defense played real well yesterday. There were other parts of the game that went real well for the Jets. And you simply can't allow someone's performance not to be measured and then ultimately held accountable. And then in terms of the pre-draft process, one of the things I learned a long time ago, guys, is how you treat people that can't help you is who you really are. You know, the support staff, the academic advisor, the bus driver. And Zach Wilson not being, like, having the wherewithal to actually understand how bad he's playing and how much he's laying down the team is just completely unacceptable. And he needs to grow up off the field, and he needs to play better on the field. And the only outcome that can happen right now, guys, is he has to not play next week against the Bears.
I don't want to belabor it, Mike, but I just want to ask one more about it, because to me, performance on the field is one thing. It's the podium that bothered me more than I think the performance is. Do you look at it that way too? Do you say, you know what, if he owned everything, if he just, you know, fell on the sword and just said, no, this is on me, guys. Instead of saying no to, do you feel the offense let down the defense? If him saying, you know what, no, it wasn't the offense. It was me who let the team down. Like, if he took ownership of the performance and showed a little more contrition, a little less, you know, of the petulance that we've been seeing from him, would that change your thinking, or does that have nothing to do with it in your eyes?
No, it's a fair point. You know, certainly from, you know, how you comport yourself as a leader and be accountable, that's going to give you the benefit of the doubt and have green tangibles. But it really starts with the performance, Al. You know, they had 2 yards of offense in the second half. Like, that's just not acceptable. And if Robert Saleh comes out and does anything but make a change, like, every other player is going to say, like, well, wait a second, I just gave him a touchdown pass, or I was offsides, or whatever it may be. I'm going to keep playing. Because if Zach Wilson can keep playing with no accountability, why should I be held accountable? And it can really get bad quickly, and that's why it's really necessary that the standards are the standards. You know, do you think Bill Belichick had any compunction when he, you know, benched Mac Jones? The best players are going to play. That's just the way it is.
Now, I want to talk about, you know, Minnesota yesterday. I mean, because they laid the egg, and I know they lost their left tackle, but, you know, did Dallas make a statement? And, you know, were we a little too harsh on Dak Prescott? Or is it more about the team and Pollard, you know, really emerging as a superstar?
Yeah, I've always been big on Dallas. I think Dallas's A-game is the best team in the NFC, meaning when they're at their best and every team's at their best, they are the best. And, you know, Pollard's a great player. He's dynamic. He's hard to cover. He can run between the tackles. He can do it all. He's a great player. Dak Prescott's a really good player. You know, we could quibble. Is he top 8 or top 12? He's a really, really good player. And then when they get the lead, that defensive line and front seven is so good that they're really hard to beat. And I think Minnesota, in hindsight, probably would have stayed with the run more than they did. But I think Dallas's upside is really compelling.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Barton Hahn. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. In the NBA, we have this thing where it was a bunch of years where we had LeBron fatigue. He was always the best player in the league, but no one wanted to give him the MVP year after year. It just felt like, I'm tired of giving it to him. Give it to somebody else. Are we there already with Patrick Mahomes? Is he just the best player in the league after watching what he has done with this team so far this season?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we could talk about Josh Allen and certainly even like Micah Parsons, but he is the best player. And, you know, I know a lot of people didn't stand for it, but Justin Herbert played really good last night, got the lead late in the fourth quarter, and left too much time for Patrick Mahomes, who's having a great year and doing it without Tyreek Hill.
Now, I think amidst all the Zach Wilson noise, Russell Wilson.
The other Wilson?
Yeah, Russell Wilson. It's a bad year to be a Wilson. I mean, like, again, you know, Denver falls short, and you talk about the 31st offense in the league versus the number one, and they have the number one scoring defense in the league, and yet this team can't buy a win. You know, is Russell Wilson maybe in jeopardy of losing his locker room?
Yeah, it's totally fair. You know, they've done a lot of things. They hired Jerry Rossberg to help with clock management. They switched play callers and Clint Kubiak, and they're still not scoring points. And they have plenty of good players to do that. Now, look, they've had some injuries on the offensive line, like Garrett Bowles, but, you know, so have a lot of teams. You know, you mentioned Darisaw yesterday. So, yeah, absolutely. Russell Wilson needs to play better, and I think they got to put him in a position to play better, too. Maybe roll him out some more, not keep him in the pocket as long, because, you know, Russell Wilson can make plays outside the numbers that few quarterbacks can. So I think that's a totally fair point, Bart.
Can Hackett be in danger of being one and done?
Absolutely, and here's why. They have a new owner. So the prior ownership group led by the estate of Pat Bowlen was who hired Nathaniel Hackett along with their GM. And now that you have a new group led by the Walmart heirs, they have no allegiance to that hire. So when you don't perform well and you have a new ownership, oftentimes you can see changes.
What's going on with the Eagles? Did you look at yesterday's win as they escaped with a win? I mean, how are you viewing the Eagles after the last 2 weeks?
You know, they're still a really good team. I love the fact that they signed Linville Joseph and Ndamukong Suh to patch up their run defense. I thought, while Indy did a lot of good things, guys, I was surprised that they didn't focus on Jalen Hurts in the red zone on that last drive. I think if Gus Bradley could have some of those calls back, he would have. They're a really, really good team. If you make any mistakes like they did on that last defense, they're going to make you pay. So I think Philly's going to be, when it's all said and done, I think they're going to be there with Dallas at the end in the NFC.
All right, Mike, love going around the league with you, and we're both with you on Zach Wilson. Somehow, some way, they've got to handle this. It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of this week goes for the Jets and their number two overall pick in their quarterback. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, basically saying he should be QB3.
That means don't dress.
And by the way, if you're Zach Wilson, you're going up against the quarterback from your draft class, and you're going to get demoted to QB3. Like, that's already like one of those, how you handle this now. Because
humble pie.
That's exactly it. Does he ever get it to a point where he realizes, I've got to earn everybody's
respect? And I got to change.
That's the other part.
I got to change how I behave.
Yeah.
And perspective. Imagine but at that. Some point, people are who they are. And it's hard. You got to take a real deep look in yourself in the mirror, man, to be able to take fundamental changes.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of maturity.
You can practice throws. You can study film. You can do all those things to make yourself better at what you're doing. But if your attitude doesn't change, players stop buying into you. That's a reality in not just football, in all of sports. It is a reality that he's going to have to meet. And will the Jets have the courage to make him meet it in the midst of a season that is a bit of a surprise to everybody about where they are in the standings? All right, coming up in 30 seconds, we go around the NFL. We get Bart's biggest takeaways from Sunday's slate of NFL games. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with their annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping veterans move their lives forward since 2013. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Are you ready, Bart?
Ding, 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 ding.
Providing the music as well. Multifaceted. All right, so let's go around the league. Last night, let's begin with that performance. It was a fun game. The Chiefs and the Chargers.
It's such a tease.
This stat is amazing to me, Bart. Patrick Mahomes is now 14-0 in road games in the division. He's never lost a divisional road game. Just put that into perspective
and
for me.
And he loses at home. I mean, listen.
But put that in perspective for me. How does that even make sense?
They're pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, hats off to the Chargers, man, because they're a really good football team. And this is one of those teams, if they get healthy, if Mike Williams get healthy, you can see them putting up some points.
Make some noise.
And being able to make some noise. And any given Sunday, this team can snap off. Eventually, they're going to get Joey Bosa back, which will help at least create some balance. They'll never be able to replace the fact that J.C. Jackson's out. Mm-hmm. But, man, this team is right there, and they're such the biggest tease. But like I told you before, it is November and December. And you heard Zach Wilson talking about crosswinds and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, guess what comes into play with the crosswinds and the cold weather? Special teams. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to see who really put in the work, who really paid attention to the third part of the game. It's offense, it's defense, and it's special teams. And special teams can get you beat. Congratulations to Cordarrelle Patterson, who broke the record 9 returns for touchdowns within his career. Hats off to him. But that is such a weapon. Teams like Baltimore with guys like Justin Tucker, who when all things go to, you know,
you always
bad,
count on him.
You can count on him being able to come through with 3 to continue to put pressure on every team that doesn't have a great kicker. And also now you get to see kickoff returns start to really play a role because most of these guys can't kick the ball into the end zone, man. And, you know, hats off, the Jets lost in the last second.
You're just talking about special teams, and there's no bigger special teams play of the year than obviously what happened at the end. Marcus Jones going 84 yards on a punt return for a touchdown. But just put a cap on the Chiefs and Chargers game. As I mentioned, Mahomes is 14-0 on the road in his division. The record that it's the second longest streak of being undefeated, right? The record.
Tom Brady?
No, Joe Montana.
20
straight games that he won in his division on the road from 1984 to 1993.
I wonder how many games did he lose in the division, period.
That's a great point. His overall record.
Yeah,
right?
Like,
incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. We didn't mention this game at all, but this was the game that should have been played in a snow globe, but it wasn't. And that's the Buffalo Bills, who went to your hometown of Detroit.
They staying?
No, they went coming home for like a day or two, and then going back to play on Thanksgiving against Detroit. But still, they win this game. Funny, by the way, it was snowing in Detroit for a little bit.
But it's a dome, so
yeah, it didn't matter. But still, they win this game, and that's what you needed to do, right? They had to win this game, and they did. Devin Singletary. 3 touchdowns now in the last 2 games. He didn't have one in the first 8, so they're trying to get the running game going, obviously. And the Browns, what are they?
They fought for a while, man. They fought. I just don't get this team. They have all the weapons. And, you know, listen, quarterback's a big position, and I don't know if Deshaun Watson – well, obviously, Deshaun Watson coming back –
he's in practice now. He's still got another 2 weeks before he can play.
Yeah, it's going to be tough within the division. And even within the division, do we need to discuss the fact that it may start becoming a reality that Mike Tomlin will have his first losing season as they scrapped? And you see the difference in T.J. Watt coming back and being great after being out the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, hey, man, this team maybe next year can be better. Pickett's showing some signs of life. But, man, it's the first time for everything, and this could be the first time that Mike Tomlin is going to be under 300 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, they lose to the Bengals 37-30, so they put up the fight. They put up 30 as well, but still, did not expect them to win that game. Did not expect to see the Cowboys. Let's continue going around the league with Bart Scott, getting your takes. If I tell you 40-3, the Cowboys win in Minnesota, are you thinking Dak Prescott must have just dominated this game? Or without looking at the box score, do you have a different take on 40-3 Cowboys win?
I'm thinking Kirk Cousins threw a couple pick sixes.
You're feeling it was
more somebody fumbled or something like that. I'm not saying that Dak went off. Because even when you go off as a quarterback, what, three touchdowns, four touchdowns, that's only 28 points.
All right, so let me ask you this then. The 40-3, is it a bigger story for Dallas or Minnesota in your mind?
I think it's Minnesota because clearly they didn't have the proper game plan.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about putting the game plan together, clearly they didn't get it done to be able to take at least attack. You know, you heard Tannenbaum say they didn't run the ball as much as he thought they would have done, especially knowing that Dallas has struggled from that, in the run game. So I would say it's more about Minnesota. They have to have a better game plan, and they better figure it out. Because in the playoffs, I think we're going to have some rematches from good teams playing each other. And just because it went one way the first time doesn't mean it's going to go the other way. I mean, Minnesota could be hosting Dallas again if Philadelphia wins the division.
Wouldn't that be something?
And Philadelphia has the best overall record.
Yeah.
Then Dallas may be the lowest seed because Tampa's going to win their division. And they could be seeing each other in the playoffs. So you better get used to it.
Let me also give you a game that we talked about on Friday, and we both kind of said this could be a what did we say this was? This was sort of like a not a
trap game,
sort of a trap game, but for the Giants,
a dangerous game.
Remember, we said this is a very dangerous game for the Giants
they
because
put
of
up
what's
points.
Ahead for them, knowing that they've got two against the Eagles and they've got another Cowboys game, and it's sort of like them feeling like we're right there in this division hunt. And then you host the Lions, who record-wise are going nowhere.
They play hard.
But they play hard, and you get smoked at home, 31-18. And then you have all these injuries. Six players got hurt, a couple of key injuries as well for the Giants after this. So a brutal loss for the Giants on many levels. Did this game sort of reveal something about the Giants that said, okay, this has been a nice season, but it ain't going to be a fairy tale?
Yeah. I mean, because just think. If they lose against Dallas, where they won't be favored because they've already lost to Dallas, they're going to be 7-4. And then they still have two games. Listen, the Commanders aren't a walkover anymore. Tyler Heineke, named the starter for the rest of the season after all that he's earned. But that's what I'm talking about. That's when teams do what's right. That's what popular.
Hey, Carson Wentz is healthy,
right.
But Heineke, it's working for us.
He's our guy.
Yeah.
And, eventually they're going to get Chase Young back. So it's not – a given that the Giants are just going to walk over the Commanders the second time they face each other. And who would have thought it may be the Commanders coming from behind, that may move up and eventually, represent the playoffs. They're 6-5, it could be them.
So just to answer your question, going back to Patrick Mahomes, 14 straight wins, 14-0 in the division. He's 23-3 overall against the division.
Yeah, that means he's just pretty damn good.
Lost twice to the Chargers at home. And then once to the Raiders, who, by the way, pulled out the dub. Little emotional win there for Derek Carr and company, right?
That's what everybody had to buy in.
Over the Let's Rides. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Speaking of the Raiders, Khalif in New Jersey is blaming you for this. Khalif, why are you blaming Bart?
Yeah, because how y'all doing, first
Good.
Of all? Because I spoke to y'all before we signed Josh McDaniels, and I asked Bart. Bart, can you go talk to Rex Ryan, ask him to come to the Raiders, to coach Las Vegas Raiders, and you could be the linebacker coach or the defensive coordinator?
I don't know if Rex had ever worked with Josh McDaniels after all the pain and hurt that he put on Rex.
No, I'm talking about before we signed Josh McDaniels.
Bring in Rex as the head coach.
Oh, yeah, man. He's
saying you never went to Rex. You should have went to Rex.
No, Rex wanted that job.
Mm. Yeah, this is more Mark Davis wanted
to. Yeah, Mark Davis trying to go with what he, you know, when will people learn about going to get the assistant coaches?
And by the way, you'd already seen him in your division. Like, you kind of knew it was a mess.
Oh, that was 30 years ago.
Mark Davis writing big checks to guys that just aren't getting it done. Mess that is. Broncos, speaking of the Broncos, by the way, they've now waived Melvin Gordon.
No. That's good for Melvin Gordon because they're doing that for him so he can get picked up and have an opportunity to win a championship.
He's miserable, though. Clearly.
Yeah, but and now they know, hey, the season's over with. So they did right by him. Whenever you see somebody outright release somebody at this point, it's like, listen, we're not going nowhere. We're not bringing you back next year.
So let's
Javonte Williams. Yeah. We're just going to outright cut you because we still have to pay you your contract because you are on the roster. No, game one, but this allows you now to go to whoever you feel you fit best with who needs a running back.
Who needs a running back? Bills?
Man, how many running backs they going to get? First of all, I don't know if I want to bring him in. He fumbled too damn much.
Oh, I forgot they added him, but that's right.
Yeah, I'm going to put him in the cold weather so that ball will be nice and greasy and bouncing around Orchard Park.
No, I'm just thinking
they got Himes.
Teams that need to add, I forgot about Himes. Yeah, they got him at the trade deadline, right?
Well, you think about a team that know him well. I would think the Kansas City Chiefs, because they've gone against him when he was with the Chargers. Remember, that's where he made his name at. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can never have enough horses. You know, as Clyde Edwards-Helaire, seems like he's going to be out for a while if he sustained the thigh injury. Mm. McKinney fumbled, and that could have cost him the game when they were trying to sort the game away. And then they got this young kid from Rutgers who they like, Pacheco. But, you know, bringing Melvin Gordon in for the playoffs – put him on a practice squad because it doesn't matter because he's still getting his money. Could be smart money.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your call stacked and racked, ready to go. We will get to them as Overreaction Monday continues. And also, as you know, as we do on Monday, what they said, what they really meant, we turn on the BS translator. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Hi, it's Bart and Hahn coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Hey, Bart, perfection starts with Patron. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get back to your Overreaction Monday calls momentarily. We were trying to figure this out because I saw this amazing stat that Lamar Jackson is 27-3 in his career in his first start. Right? Was that the record?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say 27-3? Or was it 27-2?
I think it was 2.
Yeah, it's 27-2. It wouldn't be 3. 27-2 in his first start in his career.
That's 29 games.
Right, that's 29.
So that's 3 teams.
No, his team is one of the 32. So you take that out. So it was 2 teams missing. We found that he didn't play the Bears. We cannot figure out who the second team is. Because that would mean he has not played 2 teams in the league. He did not play against the Bears when the Ravens played the Bears. But we don't. I cannot figure out who that. Who's that other team?
Yeah, we went through everything.
His first career start. So I don't know. Crazy.
Somebody's lying to us, man.
You think somebody's lying?
Yeah, there has to be
you
a lie somewhere.
It's the Packers, right? You're saying it's the Packers.
Everything that I've looked up has says the Packers. That he has not faced the Packers.
Yeah. Now, his first career start versus an opponent. That Packers game that we're talking about, did he start it or did he come in at some point
Flacco,
during
it? Because remember, he replaced Flacco.
Maybe that technically doesn't count.
Yeah, technicality. Because he came in
and replaced Flacco. So he hasn't had a start against them yet.
Your first year, he came in and replaced Flacco.
Yeah, maybe that's what that is.
So that article that I saw that said he was out, he was inactive for that game, that could be another you know what? Technicalities. I hate them.
I don't know. Just all little trivia stuff. Meanwhile, before we get back to your calls, we love to play this on Overreaction Monday. It is what they said, what they really mean. It is the BS translator.
A little voice pops up in the back of your mind to say, this guy who's sitting before me is telling me stories.
This is the BS translator.
That's why there's hope, because there's people like me who listen.
With Barton Hahn.
I feel like the Broncos are going to have... I mean... You could say this is BS, but there's nothing to translate.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No.
Yeah, Zach, that's just BS. There's nothing to translate. Meanwhile, another Wilson who has struggled at quarterback, Russell Wilson and the Broncos in a loss to their anus. Here's Russell Wilson on how he thought the offense performed, Bart. What did he say? What does he really mean?
I thought we had a really good game for the most part on offense. I thought we moved the ball well. I thought guys made some really great catches. Cortland on the go ball down the sideline, the back shoulder go ball, that was amazing. He had a great game. I thought Kendall Hinton stepped up again. I mean, what a great play early in the game, the first drive of the game where he catches across the field, dodges the guy, dives and puts the ball over the goal line. They don't call it a touchdown for him, but what a great play. And the next play, we give the ball to 2-8, and he runs it right through there. What a tough run by him, and great job with O-line. I mean, there's a lot of really good things in the game, you know.
He remembered all five good plays that the game had vividly. Like
They scored 16 points and lost in overtime. He was 24-31, 247 yards, sacked three times. His QBR was 29-7.
You talk about playing to the crowd, making sure you tell everybody you appreciate him. See, Zach, like he went in here, great play. He had a great game.
That's a good point.
Great
play. Deflected. Don't talk about my performance. Let me tell you about everybody else was awesome.
Let me tell you about the five good plays that happened in the game. Everything is awesome. It wasn't enough for us to win, but let's talk about those and let's distract from the fact that we have won, two games this year? And we are going to finish last in our division.
They are 3-7.
He is a great politician, man.
He really is. All right. Well, meanwhile, he's got his head coach, Nathaniel Hackett. Talked about why he gave up the play calling, Bart.
For me, you know, I want to do whatever I can to help this team. You know, we're so close. We continually talk about this over and over again. A couple plays here and there, and there's a lot of different outcomes. And I have to look at myself first, see if there's something that I can do to give some kind of a spark to the offense. So I thought it would be good if I kind of stepped away from that, let Clint get upstairs, be able to see it from a bird's eye view up in the box, and see if that would help us and allow Justin Allen to be down on the sideline, talk with Russell, talk with him about the runs. And so I thought that would help us. And so I wanted to be sure I had that opportunity to give that to him.
All right, BS translator is on.
Yes. The head coach went upstairs?
No. No, he sent the OC upstairs.
Oh,
he stayed on the field.
Okay, I was about to say.
He said no. He talked about how easier it would be.
Got it.
To see it from up top.
Got you. So because he's down there, so he can't see it all. So send him up there so he can
see.
And
he thought
it.
He could then focus on the rest of the team, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the grand total was 16 points. So yes. I would say that's a failed experiment.
Said Clint, by the way, it's Clint Kubiak.
Yeah, and so 16 points.
He's actually the passing game coordinator. I shouldn't call him the OC.
But 16 points against the Raiders who can't stop nobody.
All right, so what is he really saying there?
Listen, man, they took it from me.
It ain't me.
They took it from
me. That's what I heard. I heard. Yeah. I thought, all right, let's let somebody else call plays. See? Not my fault.
They took it from me, man. I gave it up. And listen, it's just the beginning. I'm trying to keep my job, man.
He does sound a little nervous. All right, last but not least, you have the Rams and more injuries. Stafford, another concussion, right, with him.
F them picks.
You know that Cooper Kupp is now out for a long period of time. Rams, the defending champs, Sean McVay, always Mr. Positive. How are things feeling right now? A little BS translator for you, Bart.
You know, right now, it feels bad. It's not fun. There's nothing that's fun about it. But what you can't do is you can't stop. You got to be able to continue to keep pushing because these lessons will be beneficial, even though it might not seem like that right now. That's the only way that you can really look at it. That's what we're going to continue to do. And in spite of all these different circumstances, you know, you want to make sure that you're pouring into these guys, whoever it is that we have out there, and trying to give ourselves the best chance to go compete. And that's all I know how to do. But it has been it's been a lot of different stuff. There's no question about it.
He's giving us the Rocky speech.
He's like, hey, man, this year's over with. Like, it's going to be beneficial because we know we're going to lose our championship title. You know, it's going to go to somebody else. Clearly, we're not repeating this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to need these lessons, man. Like, it's funny that Cam Akers all of a sudden is back. Right? Cam Akers, now he can play when now the season's over with. But you've been trying to trade me. Why don't you cut me and release me so I can go play for somebody like Melvin Gordon?
Yeah.
Like, listen, when I saw Bryce Perkins, I was like, man, are they in the Wildcat? Like, I'm like, yo.
I feel like McVay knows, A, when you win a championship, you know, you're kind of, you're buying yourself some time.
You got yourself a new contract.
And he's basically like going like, yeah, you know what? It's just not happening this year. So we'll just figure everything out.
We're secure.
Yeah. Like, that's, he talked like a guy who was trying to stay positive and just realizing that this has just been a bad year. And we'll figure it out in the offseason, and I'm comfortable. Like, listen to the two coaches. Hackett speaking a million miles an hour about, like, all the, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that. Yeah, it's all nervous because he knows, like, he's on borrowed time. And McVay is a little more like, all right, let's just stay positive. We'll get through this. You know, yeah, it sucks, but don't forget, Lombardi's still in our trophy case. They ain't taking that away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's, you know, that's probably what he's trying to say there. And that is the BS translator. 888-729-3776. We've got more of your Overreaction Monday calls coming up next. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Overreaction Monday, and we're getting a lot of the overreaction from Jets fans about their quarterback, number two pick in the draft, in a quarterback-rich draft class. And right now, as Ralph tweeted, Wilson's an entitled little rich kid with half a brain. He's already lost the locker room. He should be benched. This team can finally turn the corner with a competent quarterback. The problem is,
you've been calling for him all year. Why you go with Flacco? Mike, why? I don't know, man. Like,
everybody wants insanity to happen.
But this is a teachable moment.
There's a reason why they made Mike White QB2, though, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, because
right?
They want to see what he got. Like, and maybe he's the future. Maybe this is Flacco's last year. Maybe he retires. Maybe he doesn't want to play anymore. He'll be 39 next year.
Yeah.
It's been a great career. Super Bowl
he's
MVP.
He's not very mobile.
Yeah, Super Bowl
but Mike
MVP.
Mike White isn't like.
Well, but
the
he's
answer.
Mobile. But listen, he's a guy that can win games. He's like Tyler Heinicke.
You think so?
Can he inspire the team like Tyler Heinicke? And can he also allow you to teach the young quarterback a lesson? That's the important part. Because
right.
You don't want to teach him a lesson at the expense of losing. But if you think Mike White can play well and deliver the ball on time, and because you don't want to lose Garrett Wilson, you don't want to lose Denzel Mims.
That's when I get worried, right.
Right, because you know that these guys are elite players, potentially. Elite talents.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want them to feel alienated because guess what? I guarantee you, Garrett, you know, you think about Garrett, who came in with him and who can he influence? He influences all the young guys. So that means Sauce gets involved in it because it says that Sauce maybe liked the tweet that said that
critical.
He didn't have that was critical of it,
mm-hmm.
right? Then that affects Elijah Moore, who you know he's waiting for people to come on that side,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Breece Hall. Like, so this is the thing. Like, a lot of these young guys don't owe Zach nothing. So, like, this is their first assessment of him. So they haven't seen, oh, he's a great leader, he's this, he's that. They're like, yo, this dude don't got a clue.
Take that C off his chest right now. All right, let's get some more overreaction calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got a guy, Flake, in the Bronx. Flake.
Yo, Barton Hahn, what's up?
Happening?
Damn, working so hard to get up on there. I need your direct numbers, man. It's like, I was 20 minutes, but it's all good.
Yeah. I gave you my beeper number.
Yeah, you know, we had a couple of things to do, but we had you. We got you now.
You're here now, baby. What did it do? What you got?
Give me 60 seconds, bro. I mean, when I first call, I got different thoughts, and it'd be so long. It's like, damn.
Okay, well, give us your thoughts. Yeah, you got 60 seconds. Go.
So first and foremost, it's like, Zach Wilson is not the dude. You know what I'm saying? For me, it's like when I look at it like when you're developing talent or you're evaluating talent, what are your needs for the team? They should have took Justin Fields for the simple fact that, like, and Han has said it best. He said, like, when, you know, warm weather and the Zach looked beautiful and, like, the combine, this, that, and the other. But you see what it is. I would take somebody that had to struggle, like Justin Hurts. He had to transfer to go through hardship. That's when you see what they're made of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Jalen Hurts was in a different draft, though. That's the only difference there, Flake. But, I mean, I hear you about, you know, we asked Mike T about the process.
He could have said Justin Fields, though.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what he's referencing. But, you know, we asked Mike T about the whole, you know, pre-draft process. Yeah. All we remember is the throw of the pro day season. We remember the little things about his ability. We remember Aaron Rodgers saying what he sees in him. You know, we remember things like that.
But that's all physical. We're not questioning his physical ability.
Exactly.
We're questioning his leadership and his mental ability to handle the job and understand the moment, the gravity of the moment.
Process, pressure, and all that other stuff.
Right.
And that's the frustrating part. To me, like I said, on the field, you can be bad, but when you go to the podium, don't act like you're better than everybody else and you don't have to admit that you played like crap. We go to Huntington and talk to Larry. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys. It's been a while. I love the show. I'm the guy that called a while ago about Little Vincent's and Pizza Bar.
Yeah.
So, yes. So we trucked 4.5 hours to go and sit.
You went up to New England? You went to Foxborough for this game?
We sat truck 4.5 hours to sit 2 rows off the floor, off the field, behind the Jets on the 45-yard line.
Whoa.
And, yes.
What was the sideline like? You were writing. So you saw it.
I'll be honest with you. This is the deal, guys. Before the game, they were up for it. They wanted it. You looked at Wilson and Moore. You had defensive players going for it that were yakking. They were so up for it. And, honestly, by the fourth quarter, the dejection was just palpable. On their faces, they knew. The offensive players were pissed. And all the Jet fans there, we were just like, really? And then when they scored, when they hit that return, we were like, oh my God. We were at the fake spike game. So it just seemed like the only guy who wasn't pissed, sadly, was Zach Wilson.
Garrett. He didn't look mad?
He was just not at all. He has this entitled arrogance about him, and it's real frustrating. And we all want him to be the guy. But then we thought about, what about LaFleur? How come he didn't go up tempo? How come he didn't try a wildcat? How come he didn't
Why didn't he change the personnel? Why didn't go big personnel, just run the ball and play action?
100%. And then we're like, well, why not just, you know, go to the 2-minute offense and see if you can get some rhythm going? And the, you know, I don't know if he's in over his head, and I don't know if part of this is LaFleur. And you just looked at that offensive line. The offensive linemen were pissed,
Larry.
You could look at the anger.
Yeah, I mean, that's great perspective you gave us, and I appreciate that. Unfortunately, we just got to go right now, but thanks so much for that, because it was good to hear that about what you saw on the sideline. More Overreaction Monday calls coming up next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn Podcast.